This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 149 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by not Potty Plumber, Sarah Gooding, but instead Marcus Couch. Marcus, how you doing?
I am fantastic, getting ready for the big long weekend here. And
yes, thank God.
Yeah, it's been one of those weeks. I've got a lot of projects I've been working on, and I vowed to unplug for the weekend. So a little garage cleaning in order for the weekend, maybe hit the beach, something like that with the wife and the dog, and maybe have a little fun for a change.
Yeah, my fun's going to consist of fixing the lawnmower, mowing the grass, raking the yard, air blowing everything. But then on Sunday, yeah, we're gonna burn some meat on the grill.
There you go.
Looking forward to that. It's going to be great weather here. Let's go in. Let's start talking about some of the headlines here before we get to our special guest, Drew, who works for the Theme Foundry. We're going to be talking about their latest product they've recently released called Make. But before we get to that, Jetpack 3.0 was released. This was a big-time release for the plugin. It adds bulk module management, site verification, and Twitter Open Graph support. So 3.0, if you notice now, after you've upgraded, you'll see an entirely new interface for disabling and enabling modules. And it looks like they're using dash icons, I believe, to for each little module. And mm-hmm. So now it's sort of reminiscent of the how you enable and deactivate plugins. It's pretty much the same interface. And based on the feedback I've read from everyone, this is a very welcome enhancement. Because before, you used to have to go into the card, you used to have to click learn more. There was just too much confusion, too much in the way of actually just turning things on and off. Now you're able to easily see what's on, what's off, and turn it on, turn it off. So it's really cool.
I agree. This is the first sort of version revision of Jetpack that's actually really caught my eye and made it something that I want to incorporate in a number of different sites. Before, I wasn't really a big fan of Jetpack, but after seeing 3.0, I think I've changed my tune a little bit on this.
So there's a number of things that were added. A pretty cool little feature here, the Jetpack-related post shortcode, which adds related posts to page instead of the default placement, so it kind of gives you control as to where those show up. YouTube shortcode allows HD playback, smoother, faster tiled galleries, and new languages, so that's a really cool update. Unfortunately, 3.0 broke after the deadline again. So just recently, Jetpack 3.0.1 was released to fix the general 500 error with the spelling and grammar module. It also fixes a couple other bugs, one specifically related to the Heartbeat API. Some people were experiencing an error with that. So if you haven't already, definitely upgrade to Jetpack 3.0.1 or else your spelling and grammar checking module will not work.
Yes, and you'll look like a fool in front of all your readers because your spelling is incorrect.
You know, it's funny. We upgraded to Jetpack 3.0, and I'm writing posts, and I probably wrote about two or three of them, and I did the spell checker, and it says no writing errors found. So I'm thinking, oh, man, this is awesome.
You're nailed it.
Yeah, I know how to write now. I have a grasp of the English language, only That's to right. find out that after the deadline was broken. So yeah, that was a little disappointing to find out. But that's how I found out it was broken, because I'm like, you know, usually I have writing errors. So.
Well, that's a good indicator then, I guess. Right. They should throw all the updates by you to see if the spelling passes muster.
Right. So congratulations goes out to Matt Medeiros. The WordPress Entrepreneurs Group has reached 500 members. It's a group that's on Google+, and it's used to help connect those whose businesses are based on WordPress. So it's a little community for entrepreneurs and business owners, especially in the WordPress realm. It has over 500 members now, where people can get together and ask, you know, your typical SEO, marketing, and advice like that. But there's also, it gives entrepreneurs a place to sort of share their experiences of what they're going through in life with other people also going through those similar situations. And Marcus, I don't know, are you have you participated? Are you a member of that group?
I am.
Awesome. Maybe you were the 500th member.
I think I was before that, but you know, Matt's very, very enthusiastic about the business end of WordPress and his show, the Matt Report, mattreport.com. He covers, you know, one-on-one with some of the influencers and the entrepreneurs in the WordPress world, so it would make sense to kind of gather everybody in one herd and get us all together. So I applaud Matt. He's doing great sort of, you know, business evangelical work on behalf of WordPress, and anybody out there who makes a living with WordPress or with WordPress projects should definitely participate.
Yeah, he gave some advice in the article written by Sarah Gooding. He gave some advice where he says businesses looking for success in a WordPress community, all you have to do is companies that not only create amazing products but amazing stories and customer experience is will do just fine around here. And it seems simple, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
But really, it just comes down to that, and it sounds like sound advice. So WordCamp Vancouver, they're going to hold a developer edition this July, specifically Saturday, July 26, 2014, at the BCIT downtown campus in Vancouver. And what it's going to do is catering to the area's tech community. So the day will be focused on topics for designers and developers who build with WordPress. And attendees will have the opportunity to explore tools available within WordPress as well as third-party technology that can work with the software. So it looks like it's going to be a little bit different than your typical WordCamp event. It will be developer-focused. And one of the reasons why the event is being put together, and this is a quote by the organizer Flynn O'Connor, and they said part of the goal was to reach out to other devs within the tech community in Vancouver in the hopes that we could help reduce some of the detrimental assumptions about WordPress and what it can do that are prevalent in the greater community. When I go to non-WordPress tech conferences, I hear a lot of ignorance or outdated info about WordPress bandied about, and we'd like to combat that, end quote by Flynn O'Connor. So that's sounds like a great event, and I'm wondering if this is sort of a maybe a trend. I know if you're a typical WordCamp events, you have the developers track, business track, you have multiple tracks, but this one looks like it's going to solely concentrate on the whole dev aspect. So what do you think, Marcus? Good idea?
Yeah, page one should be this. PHP programmers, don't mess with the core. Okay? I even just got through a project not too long ago where somebody else manipulated the theme, and they decided that they'd modify core files. So that's a lesson to you guys out there. If you're going to hire somebody to do development or programming, ask to see their WordPress site first. It's probably a good thing, so they have a little bit of familiarity with it. But I applaud this. I wish I could attend this. It seems a little too early for my schedule, but boy, that's something that I think we could all learn, both on the developer edition of, you know, even creating themes and plugins and things. What are some of the static guidelines that we have to all adhere to? So,
yeah, it'll be, there's 300 tickets available, early bird special of $20. So if you're interested in going, get your ticket early. You can get it for $20. And they have a huge WordPress community up there around Vancouver. Their meetup group has 1,200 members, and they've had to split it up into three different sections. That's incredible.
Yeah, actually, the gentleman that I co-host WordPress Plugins A to Z podcast with, John Overall, he lives up in that area. So, and I know that they do tons of stuff in and around that part of Canada. So there's a lot going on. Also, one other thing, Jeff, that I wanted to mention, I wanted to say congratulations to the organizers of WordCamp Orange County, which is my home WordCamp. Looking forward to attending that the first weekend in June. So anybody that's listening out there that wants to say hi, that's where I'll be.
First weekend in June, so that'll be in about 2 weeks.
That's correct.
The 7th and 8th of June. And as far as I know, they're sold out, right?
They are sold out, and this is the first year that I was actually able to get tickets, and that's because I bought them at 12:02 when they went on sale at noon.
Yeah, you got in just in time before they were sold out, you know,
right.
Within the next 3 minutes.
It's like a rock show, you know, it's crazy.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week's headlines. We're going to talk to Drew Strozny. He's the founder of the Theme Foundry, a WordPress commercial theme company, and also Memberful, which is a service dealing with memberships online, membership services. And Drew, thank you very much for being part of WordPress Weekly today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's good to be here.
Marcus, and just for future sake, how do you pronounce your last name? Is that Strozny?
Strozny. You just don't pronounce the J.
Strozny. Okay, there you go. So I've had a bad history of last names here on the show, so I figured I'd ask you. So awesome. Finally, great to have you on the show. And the Theme Foundry, you guys have been around for a while now. When did you guys launch?
2008, so 6 years now.
It's wow. Crazy. Wow, that's – you ever stop to think about, man, it's been 6 years already?
I do all the time. What
was around in 2008? Were we back in Kubrick still, or did we get beyond that then?
Not the 2008. It was Kubrick. iThemes had just recently launched some of the first commercial theme shops. Theme vendors had launched during that time. So the Theme Foundry, you could pretty much put them in that list of one of the first, you know, the first sort of tier of theme shops to open up catering to WordPress.
Yeah, Drew, you're a pioneer.
Yeah, at that time there really wasn't, I mean, commercial themes were just starting to become a thing. They hadn't really launched yet in a major way like they did the following, you know, 3 or 4 years after that.
And 6 years later, everywhere you look, there's themes. Yet the market is not saturated. You know, just for people listening, at least that's what they say. So recently, the Theme Foundry, you folks had a big product launch the other day. It's a new page, drag-and-drop page-building theme called Make. And what is Make, and what was the inspiration behind it?
So Make is a WordPress theme. It's drag-and-drop, like you mentioned. You can basically build any type of site that you want. So if you're building like a portfolio site, if you're building a blog, if you're building a site for your business or whatever it is, you can pretty much build it with Make. You can drag and drop sections, you can add content, you can do all kinds of fun stuff, you can customize it, et cetera, et cetera. One of the most exciting things about Make is that it's free. You can download it now in the .org repository. It's our first free theme that we've done in a long time, and it's kind of in a way getting back to our roots of when we launched the Theme Foundry way back then. Our very first theme was a free theme called Vigilance, and that's kind of what put us on the map, and that's kind of what got us our first customers and got us attention. And since then, we've purely focused on premium themes, commercial themes. So in a sense, this is getting back to where we started with everything and reevaluating that. So we are still, while it's a free theme, we are still trying to make money from it. We've got an upgrade companion plugin called Make Plus that works really well with Make and adds a bunch of cool features like support for WooCommerce, a lot more control, designer templates that you can use that can get you started more quickly with your site, all kinds of extra features, including support and regular updates and things like that. So that's kind of a Make in a nutshell.
So with everything that Make has and offers, and so far the early reviews are raving about it, why on earth release something like this for free? It seems like you could have just as easily sold it for 80, 90, 100 bucks, and people would have been just as happy with it.
Right, that's a good question. Well, our main thinking here was, even just from a business standpoint, was like, let's do something different in a way that nobody else has done recently in at a level that no one else has done, especially in the .org repository. So, you know, by releasing something that we normally could easily sell for, like what you said, $80, $90, $100 for free, from a business standpoint, we felt like that could get us some real traction and exposure to people that we might not be getting exposed to. So normally, you know, maybe we're getting visitors who are looking for commercial themes, but we're not getting anybody from the WordPress.org repository because we don't have any themes in there. And even no matter how great our stuff is, if nobody knows about it, then, you know, we're not going to get customers. So, and obviously the .org repository is a huge point of, that's where almost all the...
Should we limit our speech and not really call it a funnel, but sometimes it is a funnel?
Right. In a way, it's well, if you look at the .org repository, that's where you know, that's where everybody that installs WordPress, your average WordPress user that doesn't know anything, if they want a theme, they're going to look in the .org repository because it's built into WordPress.
Right.
So it's the first place everyone's going to look.
And I think it makes sense from a marketing perspective, just because if you're going to unleash this sort of technical functionality amongst, you know, all the themes, and you want to really raise the bar within the repository, you know, why not be the one to do it and set the new standard? And that's, I guess, what you're trying to do, right?
Exactly. So
well, not only that, you know, as you said, you picked a great theme to launch in the WordPress.org plugin or theme repository, where users that come across it say, "Wow, you know, this is great. This is easy. I could build pages. You know, let's go see what other themes they have." And so they go to thethemefoundry.com, and who knows, maybe they buy another theme or they pick up, you know, the commercial plugin. And we were just talking about that you do have a plugin here. It's called Make Plus, which adds on additional features. And I think it's interesting that we have this free theme that is pretty powerful in and of itself, but instead of creating like a pro version of the theme, you've created a commercial plugin which adds the functionality and additional features to the theme. Sort of explain that model and how you came about creating that.
Right. So our first goal with this was, you know, let's do something. Let's make a splash in the WordPress.org repository. Let's do something fresh. Let's do something exciting. Let's do something powerful. And so first and foremost, we decided we're going to do a theme. We're going to do a theme where you could build almost any type of site. We had a lot of success with the builder in one of our previous theme spaces, so the builder concept. So we said, well, why not? Let's leverage that. Let's do something really special, release it in the repository. And then we had to have the conversation of, okay, that's great. We're going to, you know, it's great for the community. It has all these other positive effects for the brand, but we also, from a business perspective, have to think about, well, how are we going to make money with this and how are we going to do this? So if you start to think about it technically, having two versions of a theme can, like say we had that and then we had a pro version. Say you're a customer and you have Make, you use it, you're loving it, you love everything about it, and then you say, okay, I want to upgrade to the pro version and it's a different theme. All of a sudden you're kind of like, wait a second, this is a bit of a hurdle. I have to actually switch my theme. What happens if something breaks and blah, 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 blah. So whereas if you do it through a plugin like we're doing with Make Plus, you don't have to touch anything. Everything stays exactly where it is. You install the plugin and all of a sudden your theme is powered up. You just get more stuff. Like, oh, cool, I have Typekit now. You know, I have more options to customize pages. I have support for WooCommerce. I can just, you know, build things quickly with that. So it's I think it's a much cleaner experience for the customer who's upgrading, and it's not as intimidating.
That to me sounds like a really smart way of going about it. And off the top of my head, I don't know of anybody else that's done something of a similar nature. And Marcus, I know you work with clients, you do some client work on the side, so you're always sort of looking out for themes, or clients are telling you what themes to use, whether they're commercial or not. Do you know of anything off the top of your head that's a free theme, but in order to add on functionality, they're doing it through a plugin instead of like the commercial version of the theme?
No, and it reminds me a lot of apps, you know, how you get in-app purchases, so you can download the app for free, but if you want certain functionality to it, you've got to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it reminds me of, is sort of that model. But no, it's innovative, and you know, there are some that I've seen in the plugin basis that are like that, but not in the theme.
Right. So coming back to like the page building, the drag and drop page building themes is, I don't know, Drew, what's, it seems like everybody has one now. They're a dime a dozen. Is this, why do you think this is all the rage right now? I mean, there's Velocity Page. That's one, not strictly tied to a theme, but it's a plugin. But then there are plugins and different themes out there. What is this just what the market's demanding right now?
I think it is. I think it's indicative of what your average WordPress user that may not necessarily have a huge budget, but they've downloaded WordPress. They're excited about WordPress. They've gotten to learn it a little bit. And they say, now, you know, I want to customize my site a little bit more. And even if they buy a commercial theme that they really like, a lot of times they want to do a little bit more with it. They want to have a, you know, add their own widgets or add a background or do, you know, do different things, or, hey, I want to build my page in a different way. So this is really appealing to them because they don't have to touch any code. I think that's the thing. Most people, if you're not a coder, And you just want to get started with WordPress and build a site, you don't want to think about code. You don't want to have to be looking at CSS and like saying, okay, well, what's PHP and how do I have to do this and blah, blah, blah. You know, there are people that do like doing that, but for the, you know, the average user, they're more interested in the end goal, which is, hey, I want a website. I want a website.
So what's neat here, going back a few years, and you've probably seen this, you may have even created a theme that did this, but back in the 2008-2009 timeframe, I was adamant on why aren't theme developers just turning their entire theme into just a bunch of sidebars where I could drag widgets around so I have complete control of where elements are and I don't have to touch code and I can manipulate how the theme looks. And I'd say about 2 or 3 years ago, maybe a little earlier than that, we started to see themes that would have about 30 different layouts, and you could, you know, using a radio button or something else, you could have two sidebars here or two sidebars there. It was just a click of a button, and the theme would have 30 different layouts that it could support. But if you look at Make and the page builder, you can actually manipulate the page so that you could either have three columns or you can have two columns, depending on, you know, whatever it is you want. You don't have to mess with any code, and you can add these different gallery elements or just simple column elements or just normal elements. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and speaking of widgets, Jeff, specifically with one of the features of Make Plus is that, I don't know if you played with the builder at all, but basically there's these different, we call them sections, so there's a text section and you can create that, and then there you can create as many, you know, some different columns. You can do 1, 2, 3, 4 columns, and then you can move that around the page. Well, one of the neat things that we've done in Make Plus is that we've allowed you to swap in basically a dynamic widget area into one of those text columns. So like say you wanted to put a widget in one of those columns, you just click a button and it automatically creates a widget area that will then show up in your customizer and it'll show up in your widgets area and you can just build it out. So you could literally build that page of widgets, if you will, that you were just talking about. But it's really flexible. It can be mixed in with all the other stuff we're doing too.
That's some really cool stuff. Marcus, does that sound like that's up your alley? I think Marcus is going to be downloading Make right after the show.
I'm going to try it out. Absolutely. There are many different types of theme frameworks that I've used. There's even one now that I'm involved in that is, God, it's so complex. I mean, it does so many things. You look at the demo and it's like a kid in a candy store. I just go crazy. I can't wait to throw down $60. And this is interesting because you've got the free version, you know, up front, so it'll be nice to try it out without having to have buyer's remorse.
Now, Make makes extensive use. Make, can you still, here we go again. I try not to make do a double make there, but it was impossible. Yeah. Make makes extensive use of the theme customizer, which is pretty cool. Why the decision to put all that stuff in the theme customizer versus what themes used to do and just have a gigantic sort of settings or options page in the back end of WordPress?
Well, first and foremost, I think if anyone that's paid attention to WordPress development can see the level of quality development and UI design that's gone into the customizer. I mean, it's clearly head and shoulders above what we used to have in WordPress, and being able to basically change your background or your fonts or your header or your title and see it actually happen in front of you is hugely satisfying for somebody who's just getting started with WordPress. It kind of, you know, that instant feedback of, oh, wow, look, my site's changed. So we really wanted to follow through with that, you know, in that direction, because we definitely see the customizer as the future of where WordPress is headed with, you know, making things easier to customize. And so it was just natural that we would feel like those options, you know, they're not really options. They're more like, hey, I'm customizing my site. I'm changing the layout. I'm adding some things to my footer, or I'm uploading my logo, swapping my header around, whatever it is, I'm doing it, and I'm kind of building in seeing a preview as I build, which is just, you know, hugely gratifying.
Now, did you or the team find it difficult to work with the customizer? Because I've heard from a few other people a couple of months ago that they found it difficult, that it wasn't very well documented, and it was hard to sort of add things to the customizer.
To be honest, I'm not. I mean, the guys we have on our team, the two developers, Corey and Zach, I mean, they're amazing. So I think I'm sure there was some challenges, and I'm sure they had to dig into WordPress core code and you know, all that. But I don't remember them saying, you know, this is ridiculous. If anything, I think they felt like it was really easy to plug into once you figure it out, you know, once you kind of get a hold of how things work.
And as if the timing couldn't be any better, WordPress 3.9 introduced live widget previews, which is also accessible via the customizer. So you have it all there almost. Exactly. Now.
Yeah. So you can, it's great. I mean, with the, like I said, with Make Plus, if you've got those widget areas, you just pop a few in, you move to the customizer, you start adding some stuff. I mean, you can literally, and then as you know, you can add some plugins, get some more widgets and other things that you can add almost anything to your site really quickly.
So one of the questions that I saw on Twitter, and something I wanted to bring up to you, is why is the page builder aspect part of the theme and not its own plugin? And does that hurt the portability of the data or the content within the theme because it's built into the theme?
Right. No, that's a great question. So to answer the first part, you know, why wouldn't you guys just do a plugin? You know, it's you could get some similar functionality. You know, people could use it in different themes, et cetera, et cetera. I think it comes down to just basically doing a more vertically integrated customer experience. So if you build something like this as a plugin, you're immediately kind of ceding control over how it's going to be presented. So when you start developing it, you start making decisions about, well, this is going to be a plugin. We have to add a lot of functionality of like so that people can control how this will be presented. Whereas when you do it with the theme, we can make some really strong visual decisions about, hey, we're going to make sure this section looks amazing when you plug stuff into it. And we can control that with the design because we're hooking it tightly in to the, you know, into the builder. So, you know, for the first part of the question, it's more just like making sure that in the end you get a better looking site. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just had, you know, kind of a builder, if you just had the builder there and you didn't have that connection to the design, then you'd be basically at the whim of however people were choosing to implement it, and they may, you know, that may or may not be done in a really clean way.
And by doing it in the way that you have, you know, you're guaranteeing that the result's going to look good because it's tightly, you know, they work tightly close together.
Exactly. And the second question you brought up, you know, around the portability of it, like, hey, well, what if somebody wants to switch to a different theme, or I've been using Make and now I want to switch to a different theme? You know, we put a lot of thought into that, and that's something we do all the time. In anything we build with a Theme Foundry, we think about these things like data portability and all these factors. So, you know, the way that Make works internally, every time you build a page with the builder, and it could be as unique as you get, when you finish that page, we save it as basically, you know, HTML, and all your content is saved in the post. So we're not locking it away somewhere. So if you switch to another theme, that page will then, all that content will be on that page. Now it's not going to be styled as nicely as it was with Make, but you'll still have all your content, and it will travel with you as you move to your next theme. So we made it a point to make sure that's how this worked.
We have Marcus. I think we have a great question from Matt in the chat room, right?
Yeah, he wanted to know if there were any, or you know of any challenges in dealing with .org approval and sort of the plugin territory aspect of it for features, you know, like the page builder. What kind of hurdles did you face with that?
Well, we didn't. We worked with Emil over on the review team, and he took a pretty thorough look at the code, and everything was above board with that. And everything we're doing with the plugin is, you can kind of look at it as, siloed away. We're not putting, you know, obviously there's some things in the theme that are waiting for that plugin, like when it's applied, but they're not. It's not affecting the theme in any way or anything like that.
You're not taking their admin email and sending them stuff or anything like that?
No.
Yeah, they give me all these banners upselling me stuff.
All right, well, if you think about that, let me know. I'll consult with you on it.
Okay.
Buy Make Plus now or else. You will lose your content. We talked about this at our local WordPress meetup last night about the idea of child themes and why it's important to make edits to a particular theme via a child theme so you don't lose them when you're upgrading. Do people need to use child themes when they're using Make or no? Because things are saved, as you sort of just explained, the data and everything else is saved in the post.
So you certainly can use child themes with Make, and we've got it set up, and we've actually got a child theme in the GitHub repository that you can use and use Make. So it's definitely possible. What I would say to that, Jeff, is that you're going to be, as an average user, you're going to be less likely to use a child theme because you can do more without using a child theme. So normally something that you might need to use a child theme for, you can do that with Make just out of the box, so you don't have the need for a child theme, but you certainly could use one.
That's a good answer. I mean, why use a child theme if you could do most of what you would do in a child theme maybe via the customizer, you know, changing a font color or whatever.
Right.
So that's cool. One of the things you had mentioned in the announcement post is that you think Make will be the company's flagship product of the future. Explain why you made that statement.
Right. So we kind of look at this as, you know, like we talked about earlier in the conversation about, you know, hey, what does the market want? What do people need? You know, people want more control over what they do with their theme. And that's a thing we hear all the time as theme developers. It's a thing that you can clearly see by looking at, like, what's popular in the WordPress.org repository. You can look at it, what's popular in other places like ThemeForest or wherever it might be.
Yeah,
you can
more and more and more and more and more and more and more. That's what people want.
Right. And they don't want to have to deal with code, I think, is the main thing. They want to be able to build something without dealing with code. So, you know, when I say I look at this as the future kind of flagship theme, I kind of look at it like, you know, this is, if you come to the Theme Foundry and you want a theme and you're the type of person that wants a lot of control and you want, you know, this kind of do-it-all type of theme, you know, this is our go-to product for that. Like, you can get Make, you can get Make Plus, you can go crazy with it, you can do everything you want. At the same time, we're still going to keep releasing, you know, I guess more simple themes in that, you know, maybe they're not going to have this, you know, all this functionality. But if you just want a nice looking website and you really are attracted to the look of it and you you want some customization options, but maybe you don't need the whole I'm going to build my website deal, then you can go to our, to the rest of our theme collection. So I kind of look at this as, you know, hey, this is kind of our headline. If this is what you, this is what you want, go with Make. If you're looking for something a little more custom, then you can look at the rest of our line, and we'll continue to release kind of like high quality design, simple, not a lot of options, but enough options so that you can, you know, get some customization in there.
Well, well, let's frame that then. Who's your demographic for this theme? I mean, is it just the novice user that just doesn't want to code? I mean, is somebody that's been experienced for a couple, you know, years at themes going to find this, you know, just a, an obtrusive part of their cycle? Or what are the advantages and how do you frame who the audience is for this particular theme?
Right. So I think the audience, that's a good question, Marcus. I think the audience is twofold. I mean, I think, like we talked about earlier, to somebody who's new to WordPress or even has a little bit of WordPress experience and they're and they've installed it and they like it and they're looking for something more to build their site with, this is obviously a great fit for that person because they can download it, they can start using it, they can get a feel for it, and they can put a site together really quickly. Like you could, you know, in an hour you could put together a really nice site. I mean, and you don't have to know any code, you don't have to get a headache worrying about did I break something here? Did I break something there? So, you know, it appeals strongly, I think, to that group. And I think it also appeals to somebody who is doing client work where, you know, maybe they're not doing enterprise client work, but they're doing client work where the clients say they have a smaller budget. They don't have, like, a huge budget. They can say, look, I can purchase this, you know, for you, or you can purchase this theme. I can help you with it. We can get it set up. We can add some tweaks, but I don't have to invest a lot of time, and you can get what you want. And I can get what I want in that, you know, I help you, I assist you, I get compensated fairly for that, and we can kind of move on and everybody's happy.
Hmm. So it may even be for the designers out there or maybe the marketing or SEO people out there, this may be a good value-added thing that they might want to even throw into their clients for free just as an introductory thing. So this is, I can see your point in both aspects, for both the new user and for setting up a new user in the sense of a client as far as an operational aspect of the end user.
So before we let you go, Drew, we noticed that Make is on a GitHub. There is a GitHub repository. You mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to seeing if the community, now that it's available for free, we'll contribute somehow, either through bug fixes or maybe features or something like that? I'm wondering how much in the way of open source contributions you're going to get back through Make. We've seen how successful it is for WooCommerce and some of the like Easy Digital Downloads, which is a commercial plugin. People just love contributing the things that they enjoy and that they're using so that it's better for everyone.
Right, and I think that's a great, great question, Jeff. And it's one that's kind of been really exciting for us internally because normally, you know, we've been working on commercial themes for a while now, so we're very used to seeing each other working on our product. So like, oh, you know, basically the team making commits and seeing that. So it's really exciting in, you know, in our chat room to start seeing some activity coming in from other people and saying, oh, look, somebody submitted a pull request and somebody made a comment here. And I think it's exciting because we only released this theme on Wednesday. We've already got 3 pull requests in the repository right now, and we've already had some great discussion going on of, like, adding features. We've already fixed a few bugs. So it's really exciting, and I think there's a lot of potential there. And if anything, it's just going to make the product that much stronger because you'll know that, you know, there's this community behind it of people that are interested in it. They're using it on sites. They're helping contribute to it, making it, you know, even better and more powerful.
Yeah, and the whole open source mantra and putting it on GitHub and accepting contributions will allow you to establish more goodwill throughout WordPress and open source community in general.
Definitely, and that's, you know, that's what WordPress is all about, and that's really exciting to us in lots of different ways.
That's something I haven't experienced, but that's got to be that's got to be a really cool feeling or experience to put something out there and you spread the word a little bit, and next thing you know, you're getting pull requests or you're seeing people contribute or fixing a typo or fixing a bug or start discussing things that your team didn't even think of. I mean, that's got to be like powerful, uplifting, sort of exciting stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's invigorating. It's kind of like getting a, you know, a shot of espresso on a project. You're kind of like, hey, this is, wait a second, there's other people that are interested in this here, and they're helping
I'm
out.
I'm not the only nerd out there.
Yeah.
So we have Make Plus. Make was just released. Is there anything on the roadmap for the next version of Make, or maybe a cool little child thing you're working on?
So we're going to keep adding stuff to Make Plus, to make it more even better. So, you know, one of the other things we're going to look to add sometime soon is, we're calling them right now like design packs. So they're basically like, we've got a lot of the options in the customizer already, and kind of like you can set up fonts and colors and background colors and different headers and all these things. So what we're going to do is kind of curate some nice predefined, I guess, you know, designs based on those settings. And this is going to be a Make Plus feature where, you know, if you're getting started, you could just say, hey, I want something that's more like a simple portfolio look. And then you turn that on and it changes a bunch of those settings to give you that look. So you can kind of, as a beginner or someone that's just getting started, you'll have more of a way to feel like you're not just staring at the screen like, okay, I have the tools, but how do I do this? You know, you can kind of have some more, some exciting starting place.
Yeah, that's always, it's always great to have sort of like a starting place, because even though you would have this theme that has so much power and you know that you can, you know, create two columns here, put this there and put that there, sometimes when you have all the tools in front of you, it could be overwhelming. You don't know where to start, and you're trying to build these things. The next thing you know, you become more frustrated, even though everything should just be easier to do.
Exactly, yeah. And just having that little, like, oh, look, you know, here's some demo content. Here's some, you know, here's a look, and I can kind of now, okay, yeah, that's a good start. Now I can start to tweak it how I want it.
Right.
I'd love for the setup process to be more like TurboTax, you know? Starts off, asks you just a couple base questions. All right, what do you want your website to be about? You know, is it commerce? Is it personal? Is it this?
Right.
You know, what kind of colors do you think you might want to use? And then maybe it shows you a few pictures on the screen. Okay, which one of these pictures do you think summarizes what your site might be about? And based on that, you can kind of get a look and feel of where they want to go with it. So it's kind of like write your own story, but it's write your own theme.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, you want me to take a survey before I even get into building my theme? What are you trying to do here?
Well, it would create the theme for you, right? It's sort of a,
well, an artificial smart
intelligence
enough,
type of a thing. Sure. Yeah, it would just walk you through the process. Or, you know, I would love to see commercial theme developers create sort of a pop-up window or a pop-under or something like that that has, you know, dead-on, step-by-step checklists of things to do, you know, to get it to look like the demo, to get it to look like what you want to look like, or, you know, whatever. That should be part of the process. And I think if they did that, it would make a lot more sense than some of the obscure kind of setup videos that we've all been forced to watch.
Right. Oh, maybe. So Drew, this question doesn't really have anything to do with the Make, but since you're on here, you've been around since 2008, We've asked a number of other people the same question that are involved in the commercial theme space, but what are your thoughts and feelings on the, I guess you could call it a trend now, of themes sort of going back to the approach of keeping it simple, all about presentation, ripping things out that don't need to be there, starting to get back into not locking people into their data using short codes and custom post types and things of that nature. We seem to be coming around on the other end of the spectrum here of, instead of themes with 36 sliders and all these other things, now we're sort of seeing simpler themes that concentrate on the presentation for a specific niche or aspect of a site. And some companies are doing that now and starting to sort of turn a new leaf.
Yep. Yeah, that's it's really interesting to see, and I think a big part of that has been it's almost like a backlash from, you know, there was the need sitting there, like, okay, people want more control, they want more, so the market providers, or, you know, the businesses that are providing this, they rushed in like, let's give them all that, and they didn't necessarily think about it very well. They just said, well, let's just throw all that stuff at them. We'll just stuff it in an options page and, you know, take it from there and run with it. And then people started, you know, people were buying it and it was doing well because it kind of solved the problem for people. But then the community started to look at it and say, wait, this is some really nasty stuff. So then it started to almost like spiral into, you know, maybe this isn't, you know, this is kind of nasty. We shouldn't really be doing this. So I think we've kind of gone to the other end of the spectrum in that we've gone to the simpler, like, hey, let's just go totally simple. This stuff is nasty. We don't want to deal with it. Let's go to the simpler, you know, just basic, keep it simple. That's clean. It's really easy. People can switch themes, et cetera. Which is great, but I think that need is still out there. So it's not necessarily that you need to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's that, you know, we need to keep working on ways of doing it better and finding ways to make it so, like, hey, this gives people more control, but it's not nasty and it's not ugly. And it actually is pretty clean and it's done well and the code's good and it's portable and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that ties into what we did with Make. I mean, I feel like we're trying to say, you know, just because the need was there and it was filled in a bad way doesn't mean that the need went away. It's more that we just need to keep working and working and working to find a better way of
fulfilling the need.
Right.
That's awesome. That's a great answer. Marcus, you have any more questions for Drew here before we let him go?
What do you think your biggest challenges were just in the build-out process of this whole framework?
I think the biggest challenges were basically trying to stick to a schedule and say, hey, like, we need to get something released and we need to get this out there, because there's a tendency with a theme like this, your imagination can start to run wild of like, well, you know, we could start doing this and we could go, you know, we could do totally overhaul the admin and do, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I think the biggest challenges were like, you know, we're going to be delivering a lot of power to people. How do we do it and how do we scope it and get it out there so it's in people's hands versus just like we're just dreaming up all these ideas?
So do you then take those ideas and go, okay, well, maybe this might happen in the plus version or, you know, in some of the more premium aspects of the theme? Do you then just kind of shelve those, or do you plan on implementing those in future version revisions?
Right, so it's more we can look at it and say, you know, that might be something we do in the future, but let's see, like, let's get something in people's hands. Let's get some real, you know, some real users, some real customers, start, you know, seeing how this is used in the wild, and then we'll have a more informed opinion about that, and then maybe we'll look at that and say, this is still a great idea, or maybe it's not a great idea. But basically, we don't have to do. Don't have to feel like we have to do everything in version one.
So just a few days in, can you share a few numbers as far as how big of a pool the user base is so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we've been just blown away, and this is public, I mean, if you look at the Make repository on WordPress.org, I'm looking at it right now, we've got over 2,300 downloads of the theme in not even 3 days, maybe like less, like 2.5 days, which is, if you look at some of the other new themes that are being released, I mean, you're seeing like 100 or 200 downloads in that time. So we're really excited about the response, and we've already seen people building sites with it. We've gotten comments, obviously the activity on the GitHub repository. So for us, we're really excited about the future of this theme.
You've got 3 5 star reviews already.
Right, yeah, the reviews already come in, and we're, yeah, so it's you know, we didn't know what to expect. We hadn't released the theme. I hadn't released a theme in the directory. I mean, the last time I released a theme in the directory was just me, and that was 6 years ago. So, but like I said, 2,300 downloads in a little over 2 days, you know, almost 3 days. We're really happy about that. And obviously, happy that it's off to a strong start.
Has that big of a user base been able to find any bugs in the system for you yet?
Yeah, we've already had quite a few issues coming in. We've already patched some stuff, and we've got another version waiting to go up now. We've already been getting feedback. So it's exciting to kind of get it out there and see people really liking it. And then just, I mean, the best feedback that we've been getting is, you know, when somebody, we've been hearing people say, like, I can't believe this is free. And to us, that really just makes us smile, because it's like, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to deliver something that's like so above people's expectations about what they would get. Like, you know, I can't believe it. Like, this is amazing. I'm using this theme that, you know, I can't believe it's free. And that, you know, that's the experience we're going for. So,
well, you got to have the follow through too of the paid version. Otherwise your accountant's going to be looking at you going, I can't believe it's free.
Right. Exactly. And that's, I mean, I think, you know, the, like you talked about, Marcus, with the, you know, the in-app purchase model. And I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that business model, and it being effective. And I think it's obviously played out in the App Store scenario and other things. But if you provide someone with a lot of value up front, they can get a kind of a taste of how a product works, and then you're giving them the option to add a lot more value. And that's why we're committed. You know, we've already got a lot of value in Make Plus, and we're going to keep adding value to Make Plus with, you know, different, more plugin compatibility and just more features and other things, so that when you really start to use Make, you'll be like, wow, I can really get a lot of value out of Make Plus too, and it makes sense for me to buy it.
What do you think out of the box is the most kind of technologically advanced feature about what Make can do right now? Like parallax stuff, or, you know, I mean, what are some of the, like, just the core functionalities as far as, you know, really kind of new cutting edge stuff?
I'd say it's the core functionality of the builder we've got. And if you get a chance to play with it, Marcus, definitely check it out. But it's unique in that it when you first glance at it, you might say, okay, there's these four sections, and then you start building and you're like, wait a second, I can do a lot of things with this. It's almost like I have a grid of things that I can do. I can almost do any type of layout I want. And then, you know, if I've got Make Plus, I can start adding widgets. And all this is very clean. It's very well presented in the back, you know, in the WordPress admin. It's very easy. You just click on a section, add some content. You can drag, rearrange, you know, see it on the front end. It's a very pleasant experience. And we worked really hard on that builder to make sure that it felt that way when somebody was using it. Like, hey, this is really intuitive. It fits very cleanly into the WordPress UI. It almost feels like it's just naturally in the WordPress UI. You're not like, oh, what is this thing sticking out of the UI? It just kind of, you know, it feels really clean. And I think you can see that in the screenshots we've got even on the site.
Yeah, well, let me ask this. This will be my kind of final question. But how long, and I'll kind of put you on the spot on this one, how long, time-wise, would it take average person who had maybe 6 months experience in WordPress to get a site up, going, and looking like the demo? How many hours does that take?
Well, there's three different demo sites, though. They're just okay, Showing three different pages.
Let's put it this way, Marcus. We had three different people build these sites. It took us, and we were very meticulous about making sure they look good. We did them in, we all did them in a morning, so maybe 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And perfect. That's including adding all the images, doing everything. And we didn't touch any code. I mean, these are all those demo sites are straight Make. You can just build them, you know, right out of the box without touching any code.
Well, see, the test for me is not going to be whether I can use it. It's going to be whether my wife can use it.
Right.
So that'll be my litmus test.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear, Marcus. I mean, if you do that, shoot me an email or something. I mean, because that's the kind of feedback we love to get of like, hey, hey, my wife tried it and she was confused about this, or hey, my wife tried it and these things were really easy, but this was a real sticking point. You know, that would be awesome if you want to just shoot me an email if you give that a try.
Yeah, because she's gone with me to WordPress meetups and such locally, and they're doing presentations, and she just looks at me like her head's going to explode. So some simplicity would be welcome.
Yes. So yeah, definitely give it a try, and that's obviously one of the benefits of it being free. You know, you can download it. There's no buyer's remorse. Check it out. Try it. You know, see what you can build with it, and have some fun with it.
All right, last question for you, Drew. We know that free things are a major drain on a company's support system. So what is the support infrastructure you have in place to support Make? Are you going to only do support on the WordPress.org support forums, or are you trying to funnel everything back to the Theme Foundry website, or what?
So another good question. Support is part of Make Plus. So in order to get support, you need to buy Make Plus. So we're funneling most of that back to the Theme Foundry website. That's not to say we're just going to like ignore people on the .org repository, but it's not going to be the same level of support that you would normally get. And that, you know, that's something that we traditionally really pride ourselves on at the Theme Foundry. You know, we don't have any part-time support reps. Everybody who's working in the support forums is actually the people that are building your themes. So you're getting like, you know, actually really legitimate assistance from people, and that's a real value add, and that's part of what you get with Make Plus.
Awesome to hear that you're not losing money by supporting something for free. Although you're not, you know, giving it all up, you will support the free version. Just not, you know, you won't, you know, the people there download the free version or feel like they're entitled and say, I want support now. You know, you won't have to. You won't. Don't worry about those. Drew, I just want to say thanks again for being on the show. We're going to link up to the Make. We actually wrote about it earlier this week. Sarah did. And we're going to link up to it again in the show notes. But tell us where people can find it, what you do, your site, and how we can follow you on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah. Our site is just HTTPS, thethemefoundry.com, thethemefoundry.com. You can get Make at thethemefoundry.com/WordPress-themes/make. You can contact us on Twitter at the Theme Foundry. You can find me on Twitter at Drew Stroney, just my name. That's about it. And then obviously the .org repository. If you're in your WordPress dashboard, you can just look for the newest themes. There's a filter for the newest themes since it was just released this week. I think it's, you know, it should be right there at the top, or you can just search for Make and find it through there, and you can obviously install it straight through WordPress. You don't have to go anywhere.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the community that sort of develops around Make, and within the next, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, I'm curious to see what types of products or innovations or child themes people build on to Make, and I'm sure you guys are excited to see what happens too.
Definitely, we're really excited.
Thanks a lot, Drew, for being on the show, and all the best to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff, and thank you, Marcus. It was great being here.
And that was Drew Stroney of the Theme Foundry. And before we wrap things up here to get on to our 3-day weekend, I'm going to hand it over to Marcus, and he's going to give us the lowdown on some plugins he's had his eyes on.
Oh, there's some really good ones out there too, Jeff. We got one which is called multi-part posts. If you're going to do a series of posts that you think should be cross-linked, if it's, let's just say, you know, Jeff, you wanted to do a series on security, and maybe once a week you were doing a different post, you could link them all together with multi-part posts, and it would put a table of content on each one of those individual posts so that people could go back and reference the start of the series. So I thought that was a really cool thing. We've got another one called Hide Plugins. It gives one single admin user the ability to hide plugins from being activated, deactivated, or deleted by clients. So that's a great one. You can see all the plugins, and they can still manipulate all the plugins. They all still work just the same, but they cannot play around with them in the plugin menu. Thought that was really cool. And finally, Jeff, this is a good one. It's called Editor Color on Word Count. It changes the entire body area where you're typing your blog post. It starts off red, and then you set the parameters as far as what limit you want. And then let's just say I'm typing and it's red, and I've hit maybe 50 words, it'll still say red. Get up to 90 words, well, then it'll turn yellow. Okay, I'm getting there. I'm starting to get there. And then after 300 words...
Oh, man, where do you find these? Where do you find these plugins, man?
I look at every plugin that comes out every day. I test every one of them. So this one, Editor Color on Word Count, is my favorite for the week. If you really need to kind of coach people that are entering in items and content in your WordPress installation and you need them to keep going till the green light comes on, this is their plugin.
I think I'm going to install that, and I'm going to set the parameter to turn green after 1,000 words, and then I'm going to ask Sarah, how come every post you write you're in the red? You're not writing enough. Let's see what she says.
I'm going to set mine to 10 and just go, that's good enough.
That's good enough. And then the hide plugins, that one's interesting. I think that one could make for an interesting April Fool's joke on a particular individual.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be great.
I was just thinking about that. So we'll link up to Marcus's plugin picks of the week. With regards to announcements, next Friday I'm working on having Ryan Vaughn of Varsity News Network. That's a company that works with the athletic departments of high schools and schools across the country, and they're actually in charge of setting up the websites for those athletic departments, all run on WordPress. So it's pretty neat. Hopefully we have him on next week to tell us all about that. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffFR0. You can follow Marcus Couch, I guess, where?
At Marcus Couch.
Oh boy, that was easy. And you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes of WordPressWeekly.com on WP Tavern. Boy, I got that all screwed up.
Yeah, you're already into the weekend.
I'm already into the weekend. I already had a cracked a few open. So until next weekend, everybody, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and do not drink and drive, whatever you do. See you next weekend.